How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. This goes on and on, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. It is Tuesday here on the program. And that means that we've got a lot to talk about as it regards Monday Night Raw. We're on our way to the Fastlane pay-per-view. Goldberg will be challenging for the WWE title against Kevin Owens. And if last night's show is any indication, it appears that the storyline is that Kevin Owens has Samoa Joe to watch his back after getting rid of Chris Jericho, who was not on the show last night. And I don't think you're going to be seeing Chris Jericho probably until Fastlane. They're strongly pushing the idea that Goldberg is going to win quick, but Kevin Owens thinks that he has a plan, or they're going to try to convince you that Goldberg is not going to win fast. Although I think everybody is well aware that if Goldberg wins, he's probably going to be winning fast, which of course would set up the Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar WWE title match at the WrestleMania pay-per-view. How is Chris Jericho going to play into all of this? We got a lot to talk about as it regards that. And of course, what I'm sure everybody is interested in talking about here today, that is the segment after Raw went off the air, which if you were up last night, I'm sure you've seen all over the internet by now. But The Raw came out, they were filming scenes for Fighting With My Family, the new big screen version of the documentary regarding Paige and her family. And in the middle of the segment, after everybody started chanting for CM Punk, Rock decided to call him live on his cell phone. And we'll tell you what happened after we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We'll be taking your phone calls, emails, text messages, etc. as the show goes on. If you want to give us a call, 844-411-5411. And you can send your text messages to 425-780-7566. I got various plugs I'm going to be doing throughout this show, but I do want to mention that the Minus 5 Stars shirt, which is linked up at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also go to FOWOnline.com/shirts. as well as ProWrestlingTees.com, but Minus 5 Stars is now the number one top-selling shirt in the history of our store. So head up there and grab one for yourself. Everybody is going to be wearing one WrestleMania weekend. There's going to be tens of thousands of people wearing their Minus 5 Stars shirt at WrestleMania, so do not be left out. Go grab yours right now. And you know what I sold? Like a half dozen shirts?
One.
Swear to God, during Raw last night. I did a tweet during a segment that apparently everybody thought was a Minus 5 Star segment, and they started flying off the shelves. My Minus 5 Stars shirt. And Raw was actually not a bad show. Pretty good show, actually. There were a couple things that left a lot to be desired. Some people really hated the show, but every week, a lot of people really hate the show. Overall, I thought it was not too bad as they head towards Fastlane. But the big news is what happened after the show went off the air. So they're filming Fighting With My Family. They're in L.A. at the Staples Center. The Rock is there. They've got Thea Trinidad playing the role of A.J. Lee. They've got an actress to play Paige. They've got a stunt double, which was not Paige because I guess her neck is still injured. But anyway, they're out there after the show. Rock is talking about A.J. Lee. Everybody starts to chant for CM Punk. And The Rock. Here's the thing with this. This was a stupid thing to do. But there was a method to The Rock's madness. And the method to the madness was, well, you see, as soon as Raw ended, even though The Rock was there, they were filming a dark match with Tessa Blanchard and Thea Trinidad. So immediately, tons of people started leaving the building. Now, obviously, you're filming a movie, and what you want is a live and raucous crowd. for this big match where the scene they're filming is AJ Lee winning the title. This is the climactic moment of the movie. You can't have thousands of people leaving. You gotta have a raucous crowd. You don't want them sitting there on their hands, bored. So The Rock thought, I've got a great idea. These fans are chanting for CM Punk. I'm gonna get them to cheer and stick around. I'm gonna call CM Punk on the phone. And so he gets on his cell phone and he calls CM Punk. CM Punk is out walking his dog. He's unavailable. Rock then tries to FaceTime CM Punk. This video is up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, or at least it was last night. It may have been pulled by now. But suffice to say, this was not cleared with WWE. They were not happy. Vince McMahon was flipping his lid. First, he sends word, tell Rock to stop calling Punk. Well, Rock kept calling Punk. Some fan screams, they're going to cut your mic. Rock goes, they better not cut my mic. So what's Vince to do? He sends out a referee. Referee says, Rock, please, can you stop calling CM Punk? Luckily, CM Punk did not answer the phone, and they just continued on with what they were doing. Before the show started, Vince McMahon did a cameo where he came out and said, Rock, you're fired. Shockingly, he didn't do it after the show went off the air in this CM Punk segment. But hey, it's The Rock. He can do whatever he wants because he's The Rock. And it led to a very, very surreal moment off television that I guess you can probably still see here and there online. But Vince was not happy, for those of you wondering. This was not a plan to start opening up the door for the return of CM Punk. It was the exact opposite. I'm sure Vince is more furious than ever at the guy. And Hunter and Steph, I can only imagine. Mike, what'd you think of this show?
Well, first of all, I guess, you know, fun times and big news coming out of the post-show of Raw there. Epic stuff with The Rock. Can't wait to see the movie. Show was good. I like large dudes slamming into each other at top speed, or as top of speed as they can get. So the main event of the big show in Braun Strowman, if you would have told me this 6 months ago, I never would have told you that I was not only anticipating that, I was greatly amused and satisfied with the result of that main event. That was great. At other points, it was a long 3-hour show that was under par, even for what average is now. I'm not upset about it. I'm not throwing anybody under a bus or anything like that. But, you know, to pick it up, the women's match, there was a lot where it really wasn't that good of a show. And maybe I was a little bit tainted by the fact that I didn't watch it live. I caught it later on the DVR, so I'd already seen what people had said on Twitter and stuff like that. But the reality was, I do that most weeks. And if a show is still good, then it's still going to be good. The fact of the matter was, I don't know how much people are going to want to call and get into things that they liked or didn't like or anything like that. But to me, it's just one of those shows that you have to shrug off and keep going, because you're going to drive yourself nuts if you get upset about it.
I thought the show was fine. Kevin Owens' segment at the beginning was good. The storyline with Mick Foley and Stephanie, which is leading to Mick Foley getting killed probably by Samoa Joe. Almost certainly off screen. That'll be the end of him as he gets hip surgery. We had nothing involving the cruiserweights. What do you mean off screen?
So Mick, even with this, he's that bad off, he couldn't do something on screen where Joe's going to stand over him and lay waste to him?
Well, off screen meaning they'll go backstage and he'll be laying on the ground dead.
I don't mean
they're going to say, like, the next week, oh, Mick Foley's body was found.
No, but I want to see some sort of, even if it's in the act, physical. Well, look, I mean, ask The Rock for one of those body doubles that they're using for which, by the way.
Are you going to dress up Tessa Blanchard like Mick Foley? That ain't going to fly.
No, that's the thing. Now, is Paige playing herself at any point in this movie?
No.
Okay, so we had and you said there was a stunt double for Tessa Blanchard, or
no,
is Tessa Blanchard the stunt double for this actress?
For Paige.
Is the actress getting paid a scale from the union?
Dude, are you kidding me? This is a big time deal.
That's what I'm just, I wonder if anybody else backstage takes note of that. They probably won't. Doesn't matter though. Let's move on.
What, that she's making a lot of money to play a wrestler in a film?
No, that there's advantages to being unionized.
Well, of course they all notice that, but it doesn't matter.
I know. I just like to dig that in there.
I know. It's pointless. Dummies. It's a waste of time.
They're dummies.
They're not dummies. There's nothing they can do about it.
It's like this show, too.
What are you talking about? Dude, get out of here. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, it's Kenny from Gallatin, Tennessee.
Oh, my God.
Now, wait. Before we even move on, either one of you right here, Brian, I'm giving Kenny a pass. He called Saturday with memories.
I was going to say, I was getting ready to just toss this guy.
But he did call yesterday. Now, I need to ask you, when was the ban put into place? Has it been a full week? Did he break the rule yesterday, or was he in yesterday?
Well, apparently he was in yesterday because he took his call. So, Kenny, you got a minute. What do you got?
Anyway, I want to talk a little bit about Raw. I did see that. I love the Kevin Owens segment to start the show. And my question is, you know, the way that they were hyping, like with Brock Lesnar's promo, do you think that there is a possibility that, you know, it's kind of silly in the sense that they may not switch the Universal title?
No.
Wrestling and,
No. Goldberg's winning, and it'll be Goldberg versus Lesnar for the title in Mania.
I was about to say, Heyman really sold Owens real well in that segment, and I was just was wondering that maybe that's a sign that Owens was going to go over on Goldberg or not.
No, they want people like you, Kenny, to believe that there's a chance of that, but there's not. Don't fall for the hype, Kenny.
Kevin Owens looks great right now.
Kenny's very subdued today. Kenny, I want to thank you very much for the call. I've lifted your ban. You can try again tomorrow.
Kevin Owens is great.
I hear that when I'm not on the show, Kenny and Ryan, they all have good, decent calls. What's going on?
Maybe it's a good host to steer the ship. Captain?
Maybe because they realize that when they do a gimmick with you, it'll just die a death, whereas I can make it entertaining.
You're right. No, I just shut him down.
I'm going to head to a break, everybody. We'll talk about Kevin Owens when we come back. And yes, I will be that guy.
That guy.
Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA, Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. So this Kevin Owens promo, hey, let me start by saying, as slowly and succinctly as possible, I thought it was a good promo. Can I say that again? I thought it was a good promo.
You thought it was a good promo. Brian Alvarez thought this was a good promo. Just wanted to put that up for the record.
Yeah, but man, let me tell you something. After watching that Crockett show from 30 years ago this week on the network, and the promo by Jimmy Garvin.
Gorgeous Jay.
After his brother Ronnie had fire thrown in his face and was perhaps permanently disfigured and blinded.
Cornette.
And then the promo by Dick Murdoch on Dusty Rhodes.
Traitor.
It's like, man, the best promos today are just like dudes out there reading a script for 20 minutes. Like, I don't want to come off like I didn't think it was a good promo, but man, Kevin's just going on and on and on and on and on and on for 15 minutes. And then he goes, and now I've got to talk about Chris Jericho. And I swear to God, I thought, if you go for 10 more minutes on Chris Jericho, I don't know what I'm going to do. And thankfully, he stood up and he threw the mic down. And I was like, thank God. Like, it's just weird. It's just different. Like, he did a good job. And listen, I think that if left to his own devices, I think it would have been a much better promo. I think Kevin Owens would have cut a much better promo if he didn't have some dude writing out bullet points for him or however they do it for him. I'm sure he has more leeway than a lot of guys. But man, oh man, it just is not what it used to be. And that's fine. Like I said, I thought it was good. It was just pretty shocking to watch like what is universally considered a good promo nowadays. And it was a good promo compared to the promos I saw on that show. Everybody listen to me. I'm begging you. You all have the network. Go into the vault. NWA World Championship Wrestling. It's easy to find. It's the show from exactly 30 years ago today. February 21, 1987. Watch this show from start to finish. It's an hour and a half long. It's absolutely unbelievable. You won't even believe the promos on this show. I'm not kidding. I'm not saying this is a guy who I'm romanticizing my past. I was 11. So I'm not romanticizing my past. I didn't even see it then. I'm watching it now. Go back and watch it. And I've been told that the next week's show is even better. That's impossible. I can't even believe that.
Oh, yeah? Well, you know what? Maybe I'm romanticizing my past because I was 11. Actually, you were turning 12, too. Let's not forget about that.
I was young.
Because you were born in June. Now, though. But
I'm barely older than you. You lucked out.
It was awesome, and they were awesome. And, you know, it's like when we talk about TV shows, what the bar is at now for what we consider a good Raw, what we consider a good special event / pay-per-view. Times change, things change. What doesn't change in wrestling is giving guys bullet points, and these are the guys that you trust, giving them bullet points, giving them enough of what they need for you to have them say and get across and make sure that that does, but also still giving them creative freedom. I always thought that one of the reasons that Rock and a guy like Triple H, they liked Kevin Owens when Kevin Owens wasn't with the company, and they would say nice things when asked about guys like Kevin Owens, is because he is such a good character. He is very good on the mic. And I think WWE, and I know this is Vince McMahon's show, but this is where it's very frustrating sometimes, because if you would have just given Kevin Owens, you need to get A, B, and C out of the way, that really good, and let him go with, okay, you fill the rest of the void, don't curse, all that sort of stuff, go out there and go. I bet you that really, you know, that really solid, really good promo that he cut would have been excellent with him being able to show more emotion, with him being able to be a little bit looser, because you're not tied down trying to remember everything that they wanted you to get across. And instead, you can get across how you feel about the situation to the people. I understand that this is a much different business now than it was then, obviously. And there are guys, because of the way the system is, that you do probably need, if they're going to be on national TV, on national cable TV every week, you're going to have to script them out and go. Whether for that's good or bad, we can debate that on another completely different time. But when it comes to your bigger players that you should have some trust in, at this point, you should probably let them go, because it does get across better. And you don't get, no matter what they think they're doing making their movies, they're not Francis Ford Coppola, they're not these, you know, Steven Spielberg, they're not drawing the emotion out of their guys and getting it across. Maybe that's the way they want it to be, but it doesn't come across to the fans, whether they believe that or not, whether they think it is or not. It's just not coming across the way it really should, and really more than that, the way it could, because like I said, that really good promo that he cut last night probably could have been great if left up to his own devices.
This person here says, can you see a Strowman-Lesnar match at SummerSlam? And am I nuts for thinking Owens is walking on a fast lane still? Yes, you're nuts. We talked about that earlier. But Strowman versus Lesnar. I've been predicting for a long time that we're going to see Lesnar-Roman Reigns for the title, and Roman finally gets his big singles win over Lesnar at SummerSlam. But you know what? I would not be the least bit surprised if it ends up being Lesnar versus Strowman, and Strowman beats Lesnar to win the title. Because, man, wow. Vince is in love with this guy.
He is, isn't he?
And you know what? He's so much more over than Roman Reigns. Like, he's a bad guy that everybody loves. Roman's a good guy that everybody hates. But I think that if they turn Strowman, the people are still going to love him. Because as much, dude, they will. As much as people cry, I heard push the cruiserweights for a decade. I mean, listen. Everybody loves a big dude that throws little dudes around, or other big dudes like you do with the Big Show.
Oh,
I mean,
awesome.
Listen, let's not fool ourselves, okay? Big Show versus Strowman in a vacuum, without this weird stuff that I have to read every day about how awesome Braun Strowman is as a worker, it was okay. I mean, there was a really awesome spot at the beginning when Braun Strowman did a kip up. But the heat was so boring, and they screwed up the finish, and Braun Strowman got completely blown up. Now, with that said, I love the match. And everybody loved the match, because it's two giant dudes picking each other up, throwing each other around, and until the end of time, this is why Vince remains the greatest promoter there's ever been. He's a size freak, because he knows that the Ringling Brothers is shut down, and there's only one place to go to see the Giants now. It's WWE. This man has always known how to book a giant. And the cruiserweight stuff on the show, 205 Live, they're all, I like the guys. They do their flips. It dies a death. You put Big Show and Braun Strowman out there. Let me say that one more time. The Big Show in 2017 and Braun Strowman, they locked up and the fans chanted, "This is awesome." What the hell do you want me to do? I'm just telling you the truth. Fans like to see giant dudes, and they like Braun Strowman. He's not great, but you know, he's good enough. Hulk Hogan wasn't all that great. There was a lot of big guys that got over. Listen, everybody talks about what a great worker The Undertaker was. You're right. But you know what? For the first God knows how long, he had so many horrible matches at WrestleMania. Like, his streak was, how many bad matches can I have with horrible opponents at WrestleMania? But the guy still got over because he was big and he had a good gimmick, just like Braun Strowman. The same thing can work today. Strowman's over. He's going to be over as a babyface, too.
He will, and it's not that I'm it's not, I just wouldn't turn him because I would rather have him, he's going to get cheered no matter what if you try to place him in a position. The way things are right now, people are going to react to him as they want to. What I would do, though, is separate him. If you're going to make a decision like that and have him win the title and be your next giant leading into whenever Brock would get back, say you're not going to have Brock again until Rumble, and you decide to pull the trigger on doing that match at SummerSlam, okay, that's fine, but I would never turn Braun babyface technically. I would just have him go out there, and he hosses it up with big guys, whether good or bad. He beats up the little guys and defends his title, and that's it. Everybody is going after the giant, and I don't think you need to portray him. And I'm not saying that I'm a fan of Shades of Grey all the time or anything like that, far from it, but I think with a situation like that, with a guy that size, with his attitude, he's already bumped up against Owens and Jericho when they were both heels. He bumps up against the good guys, or at least the guys that are supposed to be good guys, like Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn. Just let him be an island unto himself, as long as you don't let him go more than 7 minutes a match.
This person says the promos with Garvin were awesome. Number one, Paul Jones was great as well, but that goes without saying. He was awesome.
You're going to actually, well, you should. You'll love what's coming up here in the next.
I'm positive I will.
The next year here of just with the promos, too. And this is why I miss localized promos so much. When that feud was going around, they would do the localized promos, and we'd get Baltimore, Washington. And then we'd also, depending on how the weather was at that time, you'd get them out of Philadelphia and Salisbury. And I could see, you know, different stations in different markets were getting different matches. But one of the matches, obviously, they went around with was the Garvin Brothers against Midnight Express in a cage. And the promos, and they were different every time. You know, they were obviously pretty much the same. Ronnie Garvin was going to end them, snapping a pencil and then saying that was Jim Cornette's neck and saying he was going to kill them, or Jim Cornette would be pooping his pants. But the way they would get to the promo, or the way they would get to that at the end of the promo, was amazing. And I miss localized promos so much because of situations like this, where you wouldn't think that Jim Cornette could figure out ways to say he was scared of Ronnie Garvin and never did. And you would never, you know, believe that you would be able to stop Ronnie Garvin from, you know, giving you a million and one different ways that he was going to take Jim Cornette's head and lodge it firmly up his backside. But he was able to find all sorts of different ways to do that. So there's lots of fun stuff coming up here with 87 NWA.
All right, back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. By the way, for those of you unaware, we're doing a special. $3.99 full access to WrestlingObserver.com. What do I mean by full access? Everything. That means that if you are signing up for the first time, everything that you've missed since 2005 is available to you immediately. There's 8,000 shows. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of editions of the Wrestling Observer newsletter and Figure Four Weekly. There is a new Observer every week, which is about 40,000 words of news and information on pro wrestling. All the little tidbits you see around the internet. It's all in the Observer first. You may as well read the Observer. There's a back issue that goes up every week. They all go into the archives. We have tons and tons of shows every single week. Some 15 to 20 shows between all the shows that I do, Observer Live, Observer Radio, Brian and Vinny Show, Figure Four Daily, Adam and Mike, Big Audio Nightmare, Wrestling Weekly, the Dragon King Carl Show. There's After Dark. Myself and Carl both do an After Dark show. You ever wanted to hear me talk about Bigfoot? Well, it's your lucky week. Every week we do an After Dark. All of this is available for $3.99. You can listen to all the shows, all the archives, everything. Unlimited access. It's not like you only get some of the stuff. You get everything. We only do maybe two specials a year, and this one ends tomorrow. So if you do not take advantage of it today or tomorrow, you're out of luck. Back to the normal price. a full solid month of unlimited access, $3.99. If you ever miss Observer Live, you can grab the replay immediately afterwards at WrestlingObserver.com. You can podcast all of the shows, your favorite podcast service. I use Downcast. It's awesome. $3.99. I'm warning you, it's over tomorrow. So do not miss out on this. You will not regret it. I guarantee that. You hear me? I guarantee you will not regret it.
Guaranteed.
Go up there and check it out. Let's go to the phones. You're on the air. What's going on?
This is Jim from Virginia.
Yes, Jim.
Did you spend $3.99 and become a member of the site, Jim?
No, he won the prediction contest. He got a free 6 months.
How is it?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, good.
Now, let's talk about this whole way too long women's segment. All right. I don't know. Everybody knew that Bayley was not going to give the belt back. I mean, even though she acted like this, and then they throw shots in there, and it gets all muddled up, and then you get into seeing Charlotte getting beat again on TV. Yada, yada, yada. What are we going to have?
Man, Jim is not into this. Jim, you love all aspects of women wrestling, and this one is too much for you?
No, I just don't think it's right the way they do the champion all the time. She's always got to be done like this. Let her win some on TV.
Are you talking about Bayley, or who are you talking about? Charlotte's not the champion.
No, I'm talking about when Charlotte. I still consider her the champion because that's the
issue. Well, she's not. You can't make up who's the champion.
We don't
mad.
Have a disputed championship right now, technically, yeah. Jim. I know it is with you.
Hey, can
I? Don't worry. She's getting it back. Don't worry about that because she's going to break 17 reigns by, I believe, WrestleMania.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I just want to say, are we going to have three heels and one babyface champion at WrestleMania?
Well, if they turn Sasha, then yes, we'll have three heels and one babyface. But they may wait until after WrestleMania to turn Sasha.
Well, why didn't they change? I've seen several times they could have turned Sasha last night.
You're darn right, Jim.
Yeah,
I called for Sasha to turn a long time ago, but they're holding off on it.
But if they're doing a four-way, and I'm not saying I probably would have already done it by now and gone in a different direction, but if they're dead set on doing a four-way, which it looks like they are, you can save that until after WrestleMania. You can have Sasha hook up with Stephanie and turn on Bayley as we are both the boss and this is how it's going to be. And that way you have that. Now, I don't know. Now that also leaves Nia and Charlotte. So I guess I would probably turn Charlotte and go in that direction if you're going to turn Sasha or bring somebody else up quickly. I don't know who it would be that would fit Asuka would, but you know, who you'd have up on the babyface side in that scenario. But if you're going to go with a four-way, then what is the point of turning Sasha now unless this whole thing is everybody is against Bayley in this match and then she's going to, you know, win at WrestleMania, break Charlotte's streak, overcome the three women, and win her second title?
Can we talk about the real issue with that segment, which nobody has mentioned
forever
before, because I'm sure nobody cares except me, but it drove me out of my mind.
Stephanie's boots and dress combo?
Stephanie comes out and she says, Bayley, there was a disputed finish in your championship match.
I take it back, Jim. You're right. It was disputed.
And I'm like, if I go back to the last 10 championship changes
for anything,
I'm sure 8 of them had a disputed finish. Like, you can't do a storyline. You can't get people to care about a storyline involving a disputed finish when every last single one of your championship matches, with very few exceptions, have disputed finishes. How many Kevin Owens matches have not had some sort of disputed finish? I'm sure every last single one of them. The WWE title, I mean, the US title, the tag titles. I mean, it's one disputed finish after another. And then Stephanie comes out, she's so appalled there's been a disputed finish. I'm like, give me a break. Is this all Japan all of a sudden? Come on. It's preposterous. You hear me? Got some text messages here. I missed the first part of the show, but did you guys discuss Sheamus, quote, getting thank you chance when he kicked Enzo? Thank you, Sheamus.
It was great. It was a great kick.
Enzo's freaking annoying, if I do say so myself.
I got to be honest. I didn't like the idea of Sheamus and Cesaro together. I mean, it was something for them to do, so I was kind of okay with that, and they were going to be... at least somewhat protected and at least on TV and being pushed doing something in the time where all this other stuff was going on. They have grown on me, and I don't want to see too much Odd Couple stuff with them pushing back and forth, except for at times when they really need to use it. But if they are, I love Cesaro. He's never going to be world champion there. So if that's the case, I am fine with them being a staple of the tag team division going forward because they really are great together.
Now, Mike, I'm going to explain right now how you were right, but I was right. You ready? So you were right. The New Day didn't turn heel by the Royal Rumble. But you know what? They should have. I was right.
Yeah.
This New Day, they have nothing to do. They're out there every week with absolutely nothing to do. And now they've announced that the New Day is going to be the hosts of WrestleMania because they have nothing to do.
That's where you were wrong.
Actually. I know, I said that. They did not turn heel by Royal Rumble, like I said.
No, but that's where you're still wrong. They should not have turned. They should not have. Now, doing it after WrestleMania, fine. But you got the New Day on there, probably, if you're not going to bring somebody else in to do a hosting role.
Oh, man, you're asking for it now. Go ahead.
No, I mean that they are, look, it's an incredibly long show. They do a lot of nonsense. They do a lot of backstage. They do a lot of talking. There's a lot of downtime. I hate to say it, but they're probably perfect for that. And if you're going to do a draft and you, again, talk about that WrestleMania haze that sometimes gets left over after WrestleMania, if you're going to make a move with them, what would have been the point with Braun going on right now, with Brock, with Goldberg, with Owens turning, with this, with that, with the other? It just would have gotten lost anyway. So it's like Rusev. There's no point in putting Rusev in a situation where he's just going to be overshadowed or lost in the mix. I can wait. I don't like it, but I can wait as a wrestling fan until after WrestleMania to see some of this stuff go. Now, once after WrestleMania, if it doesn't and we continue to stay like this, then sure, absolutely. But just to do it, I don't think really makes a whole lot of sense.
Mike, listen. It's funny.
So they turn. What
Hold on.
They
let me give
right
my
now?
Speech here.
Go ahead.
The funny thing is, I like the New Day. I like all three of them. I hate their segments. Every Monday night on Raw, they come out, and 15 minutes of my life just drains away as they talk about time machines or
ice cream.
This ice cream, the iPad. Look, here's the thing. Okay, I don't like it. Who cares? A lot of fans like it. But you're going to do a four-hour WrestleMania, which actually is probably going to go 4.5 hours because these special events usually go a little bit longer. Plus, you got the two-hour pre-show. It's a six-hour show. I don't know when they're going to start, but we're going to have multiple New Day segments all throughout WrestleMania for 4 to 6 hours.
Brian.
This will be death.
Kim Kardashian hosted the thing. They did a 74-hour... Remember before WrestleMania 2000, I think it was, they had Ivory and God knows whoever, the rotating cast
of people.
Yes,
they have celebrity hosted Don't Do Anything.
They beat this stuff to death. And look, I'm not going to say that it's going to be the greatest programming in the world or anything like that, but...
I'll say it's going to be terrible.
Dude,
it's going to be horrible. It's going to be hideous. And I like the guys, but it's going to be hideous.
Too
much of anybody.
You're exactly right, but to you it's going to be more hideous than it is going to be to others, and I know...
Well, yeah, some others, but there will also be others who are going to be sick of it.
Yeah, it's a six-hour show, though. I don't know. I don't know.
Mike,
I just think
Mike,
you could have waited to
you
do
watched,
this until
you watched
afterwards.
All of Raw, right?
Yeah.
Okay, you saw the footage they put on screen of the New Day when they appeared on TMZ?
Yes.
Dude, this was 30 seconds. It was insufferable.
Yes.
It was insufferable.
Okay.
4 hours of this.
But I'm just saying, so you go and you make the move, their heels at the Royal Rumble. Even by that,
yeah, then we could have some new matches.
In this scenario, though, but what would they be doing right now that's going to be so much better? What feud would they be in? What would they be tied into doing? They may be feuding with the Colognes for all you know. It just, I don't.
Put together a heel team and feud.
And they have a match at WrestleMania. Where do they fit in?
Sure.
Still?
Well, they don't fit in anywhere now because they're babyfaces and they've beaten everybody 9,000 times.
They don't fit in as heels either, though, in the scenario they have. You could wait until after WrestleMania and get a lot more mileage out of that than you could right now with it getting overshadowed.
I am pretty darn sure that I could create a team that the New Day could feud with and have a good match at WrestleMania if I had
a random generator of teams?
If I had 3 minutes, I could take a look at it. Yeah, of course, a random generator. What do you think Cesaro and Sheamus are? They're a random two geeks that got put together. Now they're awesome.
Bo Dallas and Jinder Mahal.
Well, obviously that wouldn't be it, Mike.
Well, why isn't the New Day feuding with Rusev and Mahal? That would be entertaining.
Well, maybe they will. But we've got
actually,
Jinder
they already
Mahal
did that, didn't they?
Let me read this here. Don't want to get on this again, but so Ian McCall's body shut down this weekend.
Ugh.
Yep.
Uncle Creepy?
They want him to go to the hospital. Here's what he says here. He said he went to the hospital. They were going to do emergency gallbladder surgery, which they didn't have to do, thank God, he says. This whole thing scared the heck out of me. When the doctor says, quote, oh, well, you could die, you never know. I'm like, what the heck do you mean, you never know?
You
he
never
says,
know.
My gallbladder was super shrunk, contracted, I guess from the dehydration. And then they saw shadowing and some other stuff on the test. They thought I had gallstones. Then they did a more advanced version of the ultrasound. They didn't see anything, so they didn't have to do surgery. So basically, we're just running tests, been running tests all week long. So again, it seems like I talk about this on a weekly basis now. This whole idea of moving those weigh-ins earlier so the guys will have more time to rehydrate. It's going to be it's going to be better for everybody. It's worse. It's worse.
Do you know why Mitrione didn't fight?
Well,
I know it was kidney stones, but do we know? I mean, I guess
I'm sure it was because of dehydration.
That's what I was, you know, the first thing I was thinking. So
thank God for these early weigh-ins to save this sport from this terrible weight cutting.
I talked about this. I think it was Sunday. Just because I lived through the NCAAs, it is going to take somebody to die on American soil before they look into this and changing this stuff. If you're paying all this money for USADA to go out and find guys in the middle of the night to test them and you gotta let them know where they are at all times and all that stuff, we can come up with a better system to get baselines on these guys and to not let guys like Johnny Hendricks be 15 pounds over what they need to be 48 hours before they're supposed to fight or 72 hours before they're supposed
all
to
right,
fight.
All right, we gotta do a break. Back in a moment. Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Dummies.
Indeed you are. Back here on the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Don't forget, tomorrow is the final day of our sale. A full month of unlimited access to WrestlingObserver.com for $3.99. How do you get it? Well, go to WrestlingObserver.com. Stickied right there at the top. It's impossible to miss. All of our shows. There's a lot of stuff that if you're not a subscriber, if you only listen to this show, there's a lot of stuff you haven't heard. We cover everything from New Japan. We covered the first WrestleMania a couple of weeks ago. We got a lot of retro shows if you're a fan of the old stuff. Brian and Vinny and Craig show every Tuesday night. We look back at Raw and Nitro from 19 years ago this week. So right in the middle of the Monday Night Wars. Sundays, we do the old NWA Crockett shows. We do all the modern stuff as well. WWE, NXT, UFC, New Japan, all of it, all gets covered at WrestlingObserver.com. Europe, all you Euros, it's a great value, $3.99 for a full month of unlimited access. Head up there and check it out, everybody. You will not regret it. And that is it for today. We're going to wrap it up. We are here live and free Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We have daily replays at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. And, of course, the replay goes up for subscribers immediately afterwards at WrestlingObserver.com. Drops into the archives. If you ever thought, man, I want to hear a Wrestling Observer Live from 2012, hey, jump into the archives and grab it. God only knows why. The new stuff is always the best. But we have the archives back there if you want to go check it out. That's it for today. Thanks, Mike, as always. Also, for all the hard work this weekend when I was gone, producer Dom, the man, the myth, the legend, everybody at Sports Byline USA, we'll talk to you again next time. Observer Live on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.